Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. And you're going to be glad you did, because our good friend Leslie Kossoff is with us, and she is just taking the continent by storm. She's already taken the UK by storm, and now she's conquering the continent. And I'm so proud of her. Leslie, as you know, folks, is one of the world's expert on the quality process, having been the last assistant to Mr. Edwards Demings, the godfather, the grandfather, the visionary of the quality movement for the 20th century. She's the author of Managing for Quality. She's also the author of one of my favorite books, Executive Thinking. And she's joining us all the way from Paris right now. Leslie, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure, Jim. Thanks.
It's good to have you. It's good to have you here, as always. Now, I told the audience in the beginning, I said, all right, we met Leslie first when she was first on the show. For a lot of years, she was in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I find out that she's moving to England, because she wants to go over there and work and do some things. She thinks that those people have got some things that she can offer them. And you did that.
I did.
But now you actually moved. You're residing now, not temporarily, but permanently, at least for now, in Paris.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, what did you find in England? See, this is a wonderful story, folks. You're going to enjoy this. What did you find in England when you got there, and why did you decide to leave England and move to France?
The work that I do in England, and I still do work in England, is wonderful. But the society.
Give us a taste of what kind of work you're doing there.
Okay. Right now, two of my major clients are ambulance services that are part of the National Health Service that went through about a year and a half ago a major merger across the whole country, where they took 33 separate ambulance services and merged them into 11 different services. I have two of those that I'm working with the chief executive. Initially, the work was to focus on making as smooth a merger as possible. Now we're actually doing more quality processes, which are referred to as high performance in that particular industry, and we're doing turnaround within the organization, so restructuring, looking at the operations, all of the different aspects of it. And in both cases, both ambulance services have about 3,000 employees each and are you know, representing in terms of the population that they have, literally millions of people, because I've got pretty much the whole of the southern part of England.
And so you're helping them with their business practices, with their processes, trying to install a little more quality in there to get the performance up, and also to help the human beings deal with the changes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is where, on the one hand, I so enjoy the work that I'm doing, but the society within which I was doing it, and this gets to your introduction, was so constraining that I found myself living a constantly frustrated life. What we're used to in the United States, the whole sense of possibility, and that if you fail, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you try again, you learn from your failure,
and you redeem yourself.
Absolutely,
you have
you have
a chance to fail, and then if you fail or succeed, but if you succeed, congratulations. If you fail, congratulations, because you can redeem yourself to the world.
Absolutely, yes. And there is nothing like the really the positive sense of failure that comes with being an American, because we treat it as a learning experience. We treat it as something that will will be a catalyst for us to do more. The contrast to that inside of England is that basically if you fail, you're done, you're dead, roll over, it's gone. And so more than anything, they want
no redemption
to do Well, there's not only no redemption, they're so afraid of failing, they don't want to do anything to
right.
start.
Right.
Yes.
Now, let me stop you for a second and tell you that last June when I was in Copenhagen, mm-hmm. I found the exact same attitude, identical to what you just described.
Okay. And I don't find that necessarily in other countries that I've visited here on the continent, but it's inconsistent. But even the form of entrepreneurialism and small business development,
right.
because of the way the regulations are set up in the European Union, which are incredibly restrictive.
It's hidebound, isn't it?
Oh, my God. And so...
Like 1,000 years of hide.
Well, you know, it really is, and it's so deeply ingrained into the thinking process that they don't even realize that that's how they're thinking as they're thinking it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and again, the difference between America and dealing with...
Well, it's almost genetic, isn't it? And
well,
that's one of the things that I talked about in my speech to the Danes back in June, was I said, you know, it's in our DNA. Mm-hmm. It's in our DNA to be... To not fall in love with something. It's in our DNA to be changing. It's in our DNA to try something and to be willing to fail, so that we can. So if nothing else, if failure actually creates value, because you now know what doesn't work. That's valuable.
Right.
It's valuable to know what doesn't work, And I said, you know, I didn't say Europeans didn't have it in their DNA. I just said we have it in our DNA, and I do believe that.
We do.
But it can be acquired, can it? I mean, this attitude.
Of course it can. It can be acquired, but it has to be. We in the United States, not only do we have it in our DNA because that's how the whole country was established, but beyond that, we systematically built it into our infrastructure. And the best example of that is the Small Business Administration.
That's right. And the bankruptcy laws.
Oh, absolutely.
And the bankruptcy laws. I mean, even that may, so some people may think it's weird for me to say that, but listen, folks, I don't know how many times he took bankruptcy, but Henry Ford had already gone broke 5 times before he hit on the assembly line at the age of 51.
Yes, absolutely. And
before he perfected the assembly line.
You know, you just keep trying, and you're right. The bankruptcy laws are designed in the United States not to be a killer, whereas in Europe, you're a goner.
They're designed for redemption.
Yeah.
And, exactly. I'm going to find out why France, I'm so glad... I'm so glad Sarkozy is the president over there, because I'm not sure she our friend Leslie would have had the same experience under the previous administration. 20 after, I'm Jim Blessingame. I could be wrong, probably not.
I am looking forward to 10, 20, who knows how many more years.
I'll explain that to you one of these days, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. And, you know, we never use the word normal around here. That's not a word that's appropriate to anything we do. We use the word regular. We can talk about things that are regular, but normal is not something we ever use around here. So don't worry. We know what's going on. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you use those to your advantage. Good stuff there that we've created just for you. The show, the articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members, the newsletter, the blog, all at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And askjim.biz is our knowledge base where you get small business answers now. Leslie Kossoff is our guest and our good friend. She is in France, ladies and gentlemen, in Gay Paris, as they used to say. I don't think they say that anymore, do they, Leslie?
No, not really, no.
Yeah, not really. Okay, so
no.
I won't do that anymore.
No.
Okay, so now we've left England. England is so hidebound. And, you know, they've got this construct over there where if you want to, you know, as you know, Leslie, if you want to start a business in the United States, all you got to do is say, I'm a business owner.
Yep.
And then however long it takes you to go to a bank, and the 20 minutes inside the bank that takes you to open a checking account, you're bada bing, bada bam, you're a business owner.
Yeah.
It takes weeks or months to do that in England, doesn't it?
You know, they've actually sped that up in the last few years.
But it's still a process.
Oh, it's still very much more complex a process than ours. There's no question about it. But they're, again, to give them their due, they're very aware of the fact that they need to speed this process up.
Yeah.
But once again, they don't have the legislative infrastructure. They don't have the services available that our small business owners do.
Right,
and,
right.
And what a big difference it makes. And then, again, now let's go over to this side of the channel.
Over to, by the way, before you leave England quickly, short answer, is Brown going to be better for England's economy than Blair?
Oh, I think that it's just going into a down cycle now, and everybody's going to get hit by it. So,
yeah.
You know, and he made a lot of bad mistakes when it was on the up cycle. I think that the country doesn't quite know how badly it's going to get hit.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that that's yet to be
very
found out. And, yeah, yeah.
All right, so now we're in France.
Now we're in France and looking at...
We got a new president that's really more of a Western-friendly president, somebody who actually doesn't think capitalism is a bad thing.
No, in fact, he thinks it's a very, very good thing.
Yeah.
And he's actively, as it's been described by French people over here, he's shaking everything up to get things loose from the way that they've been. And then
he's got a big job. He's got a big job. It's a daunting task.
It is. It's a very daunting task. And, you know, but he's doing it, and he's doing it in a very systematic way. And so, you know, he does his shaking, and then he targets in on where he wants to then make the changes that need to be changed. And so it's actually a very systematic process that he's going through. He's very much increasing in a positive way France's visibility inside of the European Union as well as on a more global basis. I like Sarkozy a lot. I think that he has the potential to do wonderful things for this country.
Well, he's saying, okay, rather than sit back on our pompous laurels,
mm-hmm.
and laurels being a euphemism, folks, rather than sit back on our pompous laurels and demand and be indignant that the world doesn't speak France as the international language, French as the international language of business, and that the world doesn't give more recognition to France, which is what the previous administration did. Sarkozy is saying, you know what, we have a lot of things to be proud of. Let's lead with those. That's what it sounds like to me. That's what he's doing.
He is, and he is working to effect change. Not just inside of the country, but because of the way the EU is structured, he's trying to shake that up as well. And again, on the small business side, there's a World Trade Organization agreement regarding contracting and the like that the European Union signed up for, that the U.S. opted out of, and the reason that we can keep growing our businesses is because we opted out. France is trying to drive the change of opting out for the EU from that same agreement because
now, tell us what the agreement is.
Small business back.
Tell us again what the agreement is about.
It's a World Trade Organization agreement on, and it's basically the basis of it is government contracting, but in fact it has everything to do with how you define a small business and how
mm-hmm.
large small businesses are allowed to get and when the laws change for them and what the risks are involved. Inside of France, if you go beyond 10 employees, you're considered a large organization.
Wow. And you're taxed accordingly?
Exactly, yes. And so these are the kinds of things that he's
and so you just
working on.
At some point in time, you say, you know what, I'm not going to grow beyond 10 because it's going to be too expensive.
And that's exactly what small business owners
are. Well, guess what else, though? That's happening in the United States. You know why? Because
mm-hmm.
of the Family Medical Leave Act.
Yes, of course.
There are many. I know people who have 49 employees and not one quarter of an employee more because once they get to 50, they start being subject to the Family Medical Leave Act.
It's such a shame. And this is where you get into that.
And we got Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy wants to drop that to 25.
Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No, then they should move to Europe.
Well, see, now you're making my point. You're making my point about some of these folks. I don't understand what they're doing because we got some people in the United States who want to act like Europe, and Europe wants to act like us.
Yes, absolutely.
What's wrong? Those guys need to meet in the middle of the Atlantic and work it out.
I think that's the answer.
Give us a website. Leslie, please.
Oh, it is kossoff.com, K-O-S-S-O-F-F, like.com.
Time flies too fast when you're with us,
always.
Leslie. Thank you for being here. Good luck in Paris, and looking forward to having you back on again real soon.
I look forward to it too, Jim. Thanks.
Leslie Kossoff, ladies and gentlemen, she is the best. Quick break, 29 after. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.